So this morning, in the next 10 minutes or so, I just want to look at the concept. So going through this this season of consecration, and John did a great job last week of just unpacking what consecration is. And it's this part, it's this stepping into this work that God has done in us. He cleanses us, sanctifies us, changes us, enables us to be in his presence, but it's also a partnership in our response, so that we have a response to him. And so consecration then being set apart and set aside for his work. And as, John explained, and as we've gone through the notes, we're going to be looking at the eyes, heart, hands, feet. And this morning, just want to look at the eyes very quickly. What does it mean to live with our eyes consecrated? Well, the eye is quite important to the body. And I've been doing some research around the eyes and what actually the makeup of the eyes is quite, it's so complex, isn't it? Like the number of muscles and nerve endings and the cones and the cornea and all of the bits and pieces of the eye that goes up to make it work and operate so that it can process the data that we see. Like in the physical world, it's really important. But also when we have an eye test, they're not just looking at the eye. Which is really important. So they're not just looking at what's going on in the eye. They can actually pick up other things that might be going on in the body that enable us to be able to respond to stuff. So it's like this gateway into the body. So it picks up diabetes, brain tumors, high blood pressure and heart disease are just some of the things that an eye test can pick up. So we're talking, you know, there's the physical eye, but actually as we look at Scripture talks about the physical eye and the spiritual eyes, this ability to see, understand, and perceive something that is of a spirit in the spiritual nature that enables us to understand who God is and his activity in our lives. And so God looks for us. So God sets his gaze upon us. So it's not just us looking for God, it's God looking for us. I love the way that Scripture unpacks this. And as you look at the creation account, it says God created and he saw that it was what? It was good. He sees. What he makes, he sees, and it's good. In Genesis 3, after the fall, God's walking, you know, the Lord's walking in the garden. He's looking for Adam and Eve, as he'd done previously. And he does, you know, they're hiding. He's looking for them. He knows that something is wrong. There's this pursuit of relationship as God looks for people. And then there's other references right the way throughout Scripture. You could look at Psalm 33, 18, or Psalm 139, 16. And he, in Psalm 139, 16, it talks about he knew, he saw us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He has this picture, an idea of who we are and what he's created, a capacity in us. Jesus himself says of Jesus that he came to seek and to save the lost. He's pursuing us. So like when we respond to him, it's not just, oh, we think that's a good idea, but he's got his eyes upon us. And so in this season, as we, you know, as we've just heard some of the news, he's looking and he's got his eyes on us. Not in an intimidating way, but with a longing for us to know him and be found in him, to respond to his gracious invitation. Luke 15, you'd be familiar to you, the parable of the lost sheep, the coin, the lost sheep and the lost son. God pursuing and looking for people that are lost. It's God's grace who opens up our eyes to see spiritually. Like, so I sometimes think about it in this way, is that we, before life in Christ, we can see. We see things all the time. You know, our sight operates. We can understand certain things. But when we respond to God's grace, like there's something happens with our sight. Not just the physical sight in that way, but there's something happens spiritually. The light comes on. So John's gospel talks about light and darkness quite a lot. Believing and seeing. And so we have this understanding that when God's activity and his grace calls us and our eyes are open, we have this opportunity to respond to what he's doing. And so he longs for us to be with him. And so the things that I want to just concentrate on in the next few minutes, how do we live a life that is consecrated to God, starting with our eyes, and not just the physical eyes, the spiritual eyes. If we've come to that place of recognizing that we are his and he is ours, then how do we get to live? Well, I think we get to live with a life that's looking up. When in Isaiah 6, verse 1, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated high and lifted up, elevated above all things at the place of power and authority. And I spoke about this a few weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago now. So I'm not going to dwell on this, but this vision of the one who is over all, reigns over all, holds all things together, is just, is magnificent. And so we get to live our life with our eyes looking up to the one who holds us. So when life doesn't work out the way that we think it might work out or should work out or could work out, or we'd long for it to work out in the way, we can rest in the assurance that he is the one that sees, because he sits high and lifted up. Isaiah had this vision of God that changed his life. And so our invitation this morning is to look up at the one who holds it all together. Now, don't just leave it in the airy-fairy kind of out there kind of world. We get to see this lived out in the reality of who Jesus is. And so in John 12, 32, it says if he's lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. So when we think about looking up, it's not just about God up there who is out of reach. Actually, it's about looking up at the one who stepped down and came and made his dwelling among us and hung upon the cross high and lifted up, so that when we look to him, we might know what it is to experience life, forgiveness, hope, because he not only died, as we sang earlier, he rose again victorious and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So this Jesus is the one in whom we look to. We can look to him for wisdom. You could, if you want to note these scriptures down, you could read them a little bit later. It's 2 Chronicles 1, 10 to 12. And you can also look at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It's looking to him for wisdom and leadership and guidance. John, you referenced that song. If you're not in it, we don't want it. It's that, Lord, we want to look to you to do what you've purposed us to do, wherever you've purposed us to do it, whatever you've called us to do, in order that we might bring glory to you. So it's this looking to him for his wisdom and his leading. Look to him and you will find him. Love that promise. Because, you know, I sometimes play hide and seek with the girls, not so often now, but, you know, when we were young, used to play that hide and seek and try and hide somebody. But I had always positioned myself in such a way that they would be able to find me. Because the fun and the joy of trying to seek out their dad who's hiding, you know, with his head sticking out of the behind the sofa, is that they'll see him. They'll see me. And the thing is, God's not trying to play hide and seek that we can't find him. He's calling us to pursue him, to seek him, so that actually there's some joy in the moment of trying to find him, and he longs to be found. So it's not this endless pursuit, but we see this understanding of finding him in and through the person of Jesus, who has made himself available for us, revealing God himself, because he is God. And then when you look, you've got to look where you're going. So you could have a look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. Those whose hearts are, so, you know, it's like God is looking for people whose hearts are set on him. It's this two-way thing again. God looking for us and looking for God. And so it's this, look where we're going. And I've got a couple of bikers in the room who understand that. So fixation gaze. You've got to look. You know, if you can just keep looking at something, the chances are you could hit it. You go in the direction your eyes are going. And so what are we aiming at? What are we focusing on? And I think that's the invitation to look up. Look in. Okay, 4 minutes. You're going to say, could you leave more often, Ian? Could you preach shorter? look in. All right, this is almost like the internal compass. As we begin to look at the inner part of our lives. So Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me and know me, O God. Know my inner ways. And so if we're to live this life of a consecrated life, I think we've got to look up at the one who holds it all together, and we've also got to look in. What's going on internally? Look at the patterns and rhythms of our lives, the drawer of our heart. What is going on in us? I think we take some responsibility for this, is that prayer, search me, O God, and know me. But sometimes we can have a fear if we start to pray those that it'll all be carnage. God's gracious and he does reveal stuff to us, but he takes us on the journey of transformation as our hearts are set on him. So we take some responsibility for that, but it's his activity in us that changes us. And actually, the way of looking in is as we use our eyes to engage with scripture. Use the not just our physical sight, but the spiritual eyes, the Spirit of God in us, at work in us, as we engage with the text of this precious book. He draws our eyes and our heart to see him and understand him and to know him. Hebrews 4:12 talks about this word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword, cut into bone and marrow. So that what's he talking about? Well, actually, God's word gets right into the heart of us. And as we look, not just look at the scriptures, but allow the scriptures to look at us, transformation in us begins to take place as he works in us and through us. And then the other way about looking in is that, so there's interior life, but also the exterior life. And I think this is really important, where we engage in community and look for one another, look out for one another, because we've all got some blind spots. Sometimes we don't see some of the things that actually is really obvious to other people, but we need other people in our lives to go, do you know what, let me come alongside, because I see God's activity in your life and I see what is on you. I see the gifting he's placed in you. But let's walk together so that you may flourish and thrive into everything that God's called you to be. And that's the sense of that happens in community when we're with one another, because we can only really understand one another when we actually walk together. Because otherwise, we flit in and out, and I think we miss an opportunity for the one another's of Scripture, which are so many. So John 15, Jesus tells the disciples to love one another. Philippians 2, says seek the needs of others. Seek to serve the needs of others. Don't just look out for your own needs, but seek to serve the needs of others. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another. Encourage one another. And so in this season, what does it look like for us as a community to be a people who love and serve and provoke in a really healthy way the pursuit of Jesus? And then look out. Look out. Be ready. 1 Peter 3:15. What do you see? It says, be ready to give an account for the hope that is within you. So we look up, we look in, and we look out. Look out for others. Look out for those who are living in hopelessness, who don't have what we have, don't have the thing that keeps us anchored, that enables us to see in the way that God sees others, that enables us to love others the way that Jesus loved others. So what do you see? What's the need around you? What's the need around us, and how might we respond as an ambassador of good news? Who do you see? Who are the people around you that you could just keep an eye out for and maybe build a friendship with? Or maybe you've already got that and you can begin to be a little bit more intentional around that being ready. Then finally, what preparations do you need to put into place as you think about looking out? So look up, look in, look out. And I think as we understand our whole life, every part of it, our devotion, our act of community, our engagement in witness, every aspect of who we are as followers of Jesus, as we take it as a whole, I think it enables us to live a life consecrated to Jesus by his grace and his power and his mercy and his majesty as we step into that place. That as a consecrated people, we have been set apart for him. We are his. I think that's a done deal. So if you're his, you have been set apart. And so the way that we engage with our eyes, physical and spiritual, I think is a really crucial element to living a consecrated life. Because what we look at, it will be the direction of our travel. So May, I'm going to, 2 minutes over, I do apologize. So in this next season, in light of all that we've just heard this morning, and in light of the journey that is ahead, my prayer for you, my prayer for us, is that we will keep looking and fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the one who holds it all together, the one who sustains us, keeps us, loves us, cherishes us, so that we might be secure in him, found in him, and bring glory to him. So may God bless you, keep you, and sustain you for his glory and his name's sake. Amen.